You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
On today's program, I'll be talking about the 7 secrets that self-motivated entrepreneurs know, the top 10 benefits of social media marketing, the 10 gifts for the entrepreneur who has absolutely everything, and how to deliver amazing customer service. It's Thursday, December 17th, 2015, and taking care of business starts right now. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and the program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we do that, let's take a check of the weather. Currently raining here in Flemington, and the temperature is currently 51 degrees at 12:03. Today, it'll be mild with periods of rain throughout the day and a high of 57, a low of 44. For tomorrow, we're going to have some clouds and sunshine, cooler at night and breezy with a high of 49 and a low of 32. Saturday will be colder with a high of just 40 degrees and a low of 28. And on Sunday, we'll start a little bit of a warming trend, highs of around 45 and a low of 31. Well, it's a rainy, soggy Thursday here in Flemington, and I apologize, I don't have a market update for you. I had a little problem with the iPad, but right now, markets have reacted pretty favorably to the Fed raising the interest rate so far, and no real change. There, you know, a lot of people thought that it would be a huge sell-off yesterday. That didn't happen. So everything looking good right now and pretty stable, which just generally indicates that the economy is strong and able to weather a mild increase. So that is all good. And whether or not they're going to raise rates again in the next quarter or so on has yet to be determined. There's a little bit of hinting going on that that may happen within about another 6 months, that there could be another rate increase if the economy seems stable enough to handle it. Well, last week there was no show because I was up at our corporate office for what's known as a key employee meeting. And what this is stores are invited to come up and bring one of their key employees with them. Now, a lot of times when you're working in a franchise system, or if you have parent offices or maybe satellite offices, it doesn't have to be a huge, you know, franchise system, but if you have like 4 or 5 locations, a lot of times the owners, the senior management don't necessarily visit the other locations very often. And this was unique because here we were able to bring one of our employees up with us to get a sense of where we fit within the organization. You know, when we talk about, you know, Crown Trophy and Crown Awards, and when I explain that to the staff, a lot of times it's just a mythical building somewhere up on a hill in Hawthorne, New York. But for them to go and take a tour of our warehouse so they understand that when we say we're ordering one OptiSport or one plaque or something like that, now they get a sense for what it takes to, you know, place that order, have the girls upstairs process it, have the folks downstairs in the warehouse find the material, get it in a box, pack it, ship it, put the label on it, throw it in a truck, and then somehow magically it appears in our warehouse the next day. So I think it was very telling, very informative for our key employee to go there and see all that and see the size and the scope of the operation. I would encourage you that if you have an operation like that with different locations, different sites, that every now and then you get them, get your employees out so they see how they fit within the whole organization. And, you know, a lot of times, rather than waiting to the last minute for something, understanding what's involved and getting something to you, it can be very helpful. So that was all good. Tuesday night was the GOP debate. Nine GOP candidates up on the stage, and I have a feeling that number is going to shrink pretty dramatically sometime in January, because winners and losers, I think Jeb Bush at this point, we can take the exclamation point off of all the posters. I think that that campaign is done. When he may think that it's a birthright that he becomes, you know, the next president or that he runs for, it's just not there. He doesn't have the charisma. He doesn't have good, strong arguments. And it just seems like every time, and there's a lot of preparation that goes into these debates, whether it's on the local level or on the national level, you have to prepare. You have to know what you're going to say, how you're going to say it. You have to practice it. And trust me when I tell you, because I've known people who have worked on campaigns and I've consulted on other campaigns, you have to get it to the point where your candidate knows it, feels it, lives it, breathes it, believes it. And I just don't think that Jeb feels what he's being told to say. And a lot of times he'll stammer and stutter over his words. And right there, he just comes out looking, you know, bad. Now, these are just debates. This is not to say that he wouldn't make a great president. But when you compare him to, say, a Marco Rubio, who's very polished, thinks about his answer, answers all within the time limit. Ted Cruz answers within the time limit. Ted's style is a little dry for me, but he gets his point across. Coming out on the attack of Donald Trump, Jeb made a huge mistake, because you are just not going to get under his skin. He's just going to dismiss you, which is exactly what he did not only Tuesday night, but the next day at a rally at an airport. He's basically dismissed him as a non-entity. So the winners, I think, from Tuesday, Trump already in the lead. I don't think that he's going to gain many points from his performance on Tuesday, but I don't think he's going to lose any either. Marco Rubio, I think, solidified his stance. Ted Cruz, I think, is going to take a little bit of a hit on immigration. Carly Fiorina made some good points. Chris Christie was strong. And I think that, you know, Kasich is just not electable at this point for the presidential. Might be a smart guy, but I just don't think he has, again, that appeal, the charisma of the voters to go for someone like him. So, and Rand Paul, he's still on the stage, but he, again, just he's out there a little bit. I don't think people are going to follow him too much longer. So after the Iowa caucuses, it'll be interesting to see how many people drop out. Keep in mind that the last time the front runner led going into the Iowa caucuses, they were gone just a few months later. So this could be, I think at some point, you know, and whether he would listen or not is another thing, but I think at some point Donald Trump has to admit or consult with some people who can kind of polish his what he's saying. Because right now, you know, yes, it's brash and yes, it's out there. And you know, what a lot of people are saying is that it's what America is thinking. That's fine. There's a better way to say it. And there's a better way to say it and not piss off the rest of the world in the process. So it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to the caucuses. We're about 50 days away. And I think at that point, the field should shrink down to maybe four or five candidates. And then we can really start getting into the discussion of whether or not, you know, the candidates who are in the lead should be. Ben Carson, I don't think, helped his stance any. Something's going on there where I think his campaign is stuttering and just not answering the questions that are being asked of him. I think he's shown a little bit of weakness on the international stage as well. Well, in the preview to the show, I was talking about the top 10 benefits of social media marketing. So let's get right into those. This is a topic of conversation that came up at the key employee meeting. One of the stores from Texas asked the question, who is using social media to contact and stay in touch with their customers? And I raised my hand. And this is an argument that I spoke about at our summer meeting last year, and probably I'm in the minority. I know that. Other stores got into social media marketing. Now they're getting out of social media marketing. They're getting out of social media altogether. So here are the top 10 benefits of social media marketing. And to some entrepreneurs, social media marketing is the next big thing, a temporary yet powerful fad that must be taken advantage of while it's still in the spotlight. And yet to others, it's just a buzzword with no practical advantages and a steep, complicated learning curve. Now, because it appeared quickly, social media has developed a reputation by some for being a passing marketing interest and therefore an unprofitable one. The statistics, however, illustrate a different picture. According to HubSpot, 92% of marketers in 2014 claimed that social media marketing was important for their business, with 80% indicating that their efforts increased traffic to their websites. And according to Social Media Examiner, 97% of marketers are currently participating in social media, but 85% of participants aren't sure what social media tools are the best to use. Now, this demonstrates a huge potential for social media marketing to increase sales, but a lack of understanding on how to achieve those results. So here's a look at some of the ways that social media marketing can improve your business. First, it can increase your brand recognition. Now, every opportunity that you have to syndicate your content and increase your visibility is valuable. Your social media networks are just new channels for your brand's voice and content. This is important because it simultaneously makes you easier and more accessible for new customers to find you, and it makes you more familiar and recognizable to existing customers. For example, a frequent Twitter user could hear about your company for the first time only after stumbling upon it in a newsfeed, or an otherwise apathetic customer might become better acquainted with your brand after seeing your presence on multiple networks. It also provides, number two, improved brand loyalty. According to a report published by Texas Tech University, brands who engage on social media channels enjoy higher loyalty from their customers. The report concludes that companies should take advantage of the tools social media gives them when it comes to connecting with their audience. A strategic and open social media plan could prove influential in morphing consumers into being brand loyal. Another study published by Convince and Convert found that 53% of Americans who follow brands in social are more loyal to those brands. Number three, more opportunities to convert. Every post you make on a social media platform is an opportunity for consumers to convert. When you build a following, you'll simultaneously have access to new customers, recent customers, and old customers, and you'll be able to interact with all of them. Every blog post, image, video, or comment you share is a chance for someone to react, and every reaction could lead to a site visit and eventually a conversion. Now, not every interaction with your brand results in a conversion, but every positive interaction increases the likelihood of an eventual conversion. Even if your click-through rates are low, the sheer number of opportunities you have on social media is significant. And as I pointed out, it's the first opportunity or initiative is the first element of any action. Let's talk about higher conversion rates for just a second. Social media marketing results in higher conversion rates in a few distinct ways. And of course, when I say that, that means that you're embedding or somehow referencing your website. So it's not enough to just put a post up on Facebook and say, hey, you know, we just built 200 trophies. Put up a post that says, hey, we just built 200 trophies and www.crowntrophy.com. So social media marketing results in higher conversion rates in a few distinct ways. Perhaps the most significant is its humanization element. The fact that brands become more humanized by interacting in social media channels, social media is a place where brands can act like people do. And this is important because people like doing business with other people and not with companies. Additionally, studies have shown that social media has a 100% higher lead-to-close rate than outbound marketing, and a higher number of social media followers tends to improve trust and credibility in your brand, representing social proof. As such, simply building your audience in social media can improve conversion rates on your existing traffic. We'll go through one more and then take a break. How about higher brand authority? Interacting with your customers regularly is a show of good faith for other customers. When people go to compliment or brag about a product or service, they turn to social media. And when they post your brand name, new audience members will want to follow you for updates. The more people that are talking about you on social media, the more valuable and authoritative your brand will seem to new users. Not to mention, if you can interact with major influencers on Twitter or other social networks, your visible authority and reach will skyrocket. We're at about 12:15. It's time for our first break. When we come back, we'll have the final five of the 10 most important reasons or benefits of social media marketing. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com, as we do every Thursday at noon. I'm your host, Jim Gano. Glad that you could join us, and glad to be with you yet again for another Thursday edition of Taking Care of Business. Well, we started off the program talking about the top 10 benefits of social media marketing. We covered the first 5 just before the break. Now it's time to get into the final 5. And at number 6 is increasing your inbound traffic. Without social media, your inbound traffic is limited to people that who are already familiar with your brand and individuals searching for keywords that you currently rank for. Every social media profile you add is another path leading back to your site, and every piece of content that you syndicate on those profiles is another opportunity for a new visitor. The more quality content you syndicate on social media, the more inbound traffic you'll generate, and more traffic means more leads and more conversions. I want to take a break here, and I just want to step aside for a second, because there was, during our discussion at the key personnel meeting, a lot of negative, including the founder of Crown, had a lot of negative comments about social media marketing. Here's my take on this, and a lot of times there's a strong sense of impatience that comes through when we're talking about social media marketing. This is not put up a post on Facebook, on Instagram, or something like that, and expect that, you know, it's going to be that Black Friday rush at Walmart where, you know, hundreds of customers are going to come into the store. That's not what you're trying to do. You're building brand identity, you're building brand authority, and you're also creating a presence, if you will, a front of mind presence that, you know, here's where I am, here's what I do, and here's, I always say, who you are, where you are, and what you do. So now that's what we're trying to do. You're trying to build more followers. You're trying to, again, drive people to your website so that they will find something that they have an interest in buying and then come into your business or store or call you or do business with you online. Brand recognition is key. Now, as it pertains to social media, the argument that I make is that look around you. Anybody who's, let's say, 55 to 75, when they're looking to do business with somebody, is probably going to look at the Yellow Pages first. And they still print Yellow Pages. But that's the habit. That's how that generation grew up. If you needed a plumber, you went to the Yellow Pages. Now, let's go 35 to 55. If I need that plumber, chances are I'm going to Google it. I need a plumber. It has to be in Central Jersey, and they have to have 24-hour emergency service. So I Google it on my cell phone, smartphone, or whatever. What's happening, though, is, and that's great for the 35 to 55, maybe even the 30 to 55, but let's take a look at that generation coming up behind them. You know the ones that have that cell phone glued to their hand. They can't live without it. They're constantly checking it. How are they doing business? Well, first of all, they're on all the different social media sites. They're on Facebook, and even that's losing popularity. They're on Instagram. They're Snapchatting. They're hip chatting, doing whatever chatting. But they're always talking to somebody. Now, what if someone, one of the younger generation, came into your store, had a great experience, you know, pinned the location on their on where they were on one of the social media sites, gave you a great Yelp review, posted in Instagram the little teddy bear that they bought in your store or something like that, and spread that out to their network, and understand that these kids have hundreds, if not thousands, of followers. They're helping you. They're becoming a brand ambassador and saying, look, I got this beautiful teddy bear. I got it at Crown Trophy of Flemington. You got to go get one. Okay. That could increase your business. But again, that one posting just went out to 1,000 people. That's better than anything you could do on your own. So if this is the way that the younger generation is going to be communicating, this is also the way, and we haven't even seen where it's going to yet, but I have a feeling that social is going to be another way of doing business. And if you think back 30 years ago, maybe 35, when you used to get orders out of your fax machine, you used to think that was state of the art. When you got orders from email some 20 years later, you said, woohoo, we're going to make millions. This may be the next big thing. But if you're not in it now on the ground floor, you know, learning the ropes, you're not going to be prepared for when it really does take off. So I would put, you know, some time, and even if you start with just one social media platform and then eventually grow it to two, three, there's four that are recommended: Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, and to a certain degree, Snapchat. So I would say you've got to be on. Right now, I'm seeing the most success with Instagram and Facebook. So I would start there and then, you know, add them as you can. But understand it is going to be a little bit of time involved to do that. Number six, you can increase your inbound traffic. Without social media, your inbound traffic is limited to people already familiar with your brand and individuals searching for keywords that you currently rank for. Every social media profile you add is another path leading back to your site. And every piece of content that you syndicate on those profiles is another opportunity for a new visitor. I think I already read this one. The more quality content you syndicate on social media, the more inbound traffic you'll generate, and the more traffic means more ideas and converts. So we did cover that. Number seven, decreased marketing costs. According to HubSpot, 84% of marketers found as little as 6 hours of effort per week was enough to generate increased traffic. 6 hours is not a significant investment for a channel as large as social media. If you can lend just 1 hour a day to developing your content and syndication strategy, you could start seeing the results of your efforts. Even paid advertising through Facebook and Twitter is relatively cheap, depending on your goals, of course. Start small, and you'll never have to worry about going over budget. Once you get a better feel for what to expect, you can increase your budget and increase your conversions correspondingly. Number eight, better search engine rankings. Now, SEO, search engine optimization, is the best way to capture relevant traffic from search engines, but the requirements for success are always changing. It's no longer enough to regularly update your blog, ensure optimized title tags and meta descriptions, and distribute links pointing back to your site. Google and other search engines may be calculating their rankings using social media presence as a significant factor because of the fact that strong brands almost always are using social media. As such, being active on social media could act as a brand signal to search engines that your brand is legitimate, credible, and trustworthy. That means if you want to rank for a given set of keywords, having a strong social media presence could be almost mandatory. Number nine, you want to create a richer customer experience. Now, social media at its core is a communication channel like email or phone calls. Every customer interaction you have on social media is an opportunity to publicly demonstrate your customer service level and enrich your relationship with your customers. For example, if a customer complains about your product on Twitter, you can immediately address the comment, apologize publicly, and take action to make it right. Or if a customer compliments you, you can thank them and recommend additional products. It's a personal experience and lets customers know that you care about them. And finally, number 10, it improves customer insights. Social media also gives you an opportunity to gain valuable information about what your customers are interested in and how they behave via social listening. For example, you can monitor user comments to see what people think of your business directly. You can segment your content syndication list based on topic and see which types of content generate the most interest. And then you can produce more of that type of content later. You can measure conversions based on different promotions posted on various social media channels and eventually find a perfect combination to generate revenue. Now, these are the benefits of sustaining a long-term, underline it, highlight it, underscore it, a long-term social media campaign. But if you're still apprehensive about getting started, well, then consider these points. Your competition is already involved. Your competitors are already involved in social media, which means that your potential social media traffic and conversions are being poached. Don't let your competitors reap all the benefits while you stand idly by. If somehow your competition is not involved on social media, there's even more of a reason to get started because the field is wide open. The sooner you start, the sooner you're going to reap the benefits. Social media is all about relationship building, and it tends to grow exponentially as your followers tell their friends and their friends tell their friends and so on and so on. The sooner you start, the sooner you'll be able to start growing that audience. Potential losses are insignificant. Realistically, you don't have anything to lose by getting involved in social media. The amount of time and money it takes to create your profiles and start posting is usually minimal compared to other marketing channels. Just 6 hours a week or a few $100 is all it takes to establish your presence. So hopefully, you're going to get involved in social media and start promoting your business and your products and develop that following that we've been talking about so that others will in turn also start promoting you as well. When we come back, we are in the holiday season, and it's time to take a look at the 10 gifts for the entrepreneur who has absolutely everything. And when you hear this list and you see some of these prices, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. We're going to step away for a quick news break. When we come back, the 10 gifts for the entrepreneur that has everything. We'll be right back.
The Pentagon says Defense Secretary Ash Carter is no longer conducting government business using his personal email. Speaking with CBS News, Carter says it was a mistake.
What I did that I shouldn't have been doing until a few months ago was occasionally use my iPhone to send administrative messages, no classified information and backed up as records, to my immediate staff.
The New York Times reported yesterday that Carter was using a personal email account in his first months at the Pentagon in violation of Defense Department rules. The report says Carter was using the account even after the Hillary Clinton email scandal made headlines earlier this year. Classes went on as scheduled today in Texas and Miami, despite threats against school districts in both states. Miami-Dade County Public Schools, the Houston Independent School District, and Texas's McAllen Independent School District all received a threat similar to the one that closed schools in Los Angeles earlier this week. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
The holidays are an enjoyable time of year, but amid all the hustle and bustle, it's important to remember there are various safety precautions you should take while little ones are running around your home. One room in your home that can easily be forgotten is the laundry room. All household products such as dishwasher soaps, deodorants, and laundry packets must be kept out of reach of children. A recent study by the American Cleaning Institute found that 61% of parents are storing laundry packets in sight or in reach of children. If ingested or exposed to the eyes, these products can be harmful. The American Cleaning Institute is reminding parents and caregivers to keep little ones out of harm's way by storing liquid laundry packets up high, out of reach and sight, and in their original container. And remember to keep the package tightly sealed before, during, and after use. To learn more, visit keypledge.com and take the pledge for a safe laundry room and routine. You'll be automatically entered into a sweepstakes to win a laundry room makeover.
You're listening listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. I'm Jim Gano, your host. Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy of Flemington. So glad that we are back in our new showroom. So invite you all to come out and check that out. Getting a lot of great feedback from people as far as what they like about the showroom, and they like the colors, and they like the way it's got more space and everything. So very happy that even though it was unfortunate we had to shut the showroom down for about 3 months, the end result really has paid off strong dividends there. So very happy that we are back in our new digs, and invite you to stop by and say hello. And don't forget, on February 4th, we're going to be hosting one of the card clubs for the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. That'll be at the store in the warehouse as well. And we invite you to stop by if you're a member of the Chamber of Commerce or the Flemington Business Improvement District. And you can take your picture with the Super Bowl trophy. We have a Super Bowl theme that we do every year, so, and our trophy building contest. So hopefully you'll join us for that and maybe win a prize as you go.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Sing it with me now.
With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes, it is. As Andy Williams has proclaimed for over 50 years now, it is the most wonderful time of the year. That holiday season, everybody getting in the mood. But what do you get the entrepreneur who has absolutely everything? Well, I've compiled a list, I've checked it twice, and we've come up with some. These are real. This is the funniest thing. These are some real gifts that you can purchase now for the entrepreneur who has everything. Now, no one really has, not even Donald Trump, no one really has it all. But these gift ideas are unique enough to go beyond the norm. So is there an entrepreneur in your family, someone who has made a big mark in the business world? Are you that person and you want to get yourself something, a little something for Christmas? And while riches and fame are temporary and a successful person mostly just wants to reconnect with friends and family and enjoy the downtime over the long break, that doesn't make it any easier when it comes to buying them a gift. And for the person on your list who has just about everything already, why don't you consider some of these higher-end gifts? Number one, the Jura Giga 5. For just $5,599, it's the king of brewers. This Jura Giga 5 has two large 9-ounce grinders for holding your coffee beans and two different heating systems so that you can brew two drinks like coffee or a latte at the same time. But the best part, the coffee tastes exactly like what you'd get at a coffee shop. Not into coffee? Not like me anyway. I'm not. Number two, and this is something I'm actually considering, although after seeing the price tag, I might have to wait a little while. It's the Next Desk Terra. For just $1,497, this standing desk has a smooth bamboo desktop and an aluminum frame. It's a standing desk, so you can raise it up from 24 inches to 50.5 inches at a rate of 1.7 inches per second. Oh, and research says you can lose 20 pounds per year if you use a desk like this for just 1 to 2 hours per day. What about number three, the Cobalt CO50 Valkyrie? Now remember, this is just for $699,000. That's right, it's a jet. It costs $699,000, and it won't even be available until 2017. Russ Zabrowski has already placed an order. I saw the video. But if you do the pre-order, you can pretty much guarantee that your recipient will have a happy holiday. The all-glass cockpit, and as the fastest piston aircraft ever, offer some bragging rights as well. What about a World Vision small business loan for just $500? Now let's switch gears just a little bit. If the entrepreneur really doesn't need anything, consider donating $500 so that five women in a developing country receive a microloan to start a business. The same organization has several other innovative charitable gift options. You can also get the normal brand topside backpack for just $199. Now, that'll go with something unique and stylish to replace that crushy canvas laptop satchel. Sure, this leather backpack has a slot for a laptop and a tablet, and it's rugged enough for daily use. Now, I have been warned by several individuals, mostly female, that this next gift is not something you're going to get for the woman on your list. It's the Dyson V6 Motorhead at just $320. Nothing says unique gift idea like a high-powered vacuum cleaner. And this new Dyson cordless model is the one you want for the stairs, the car, or the quick cleanups. It has 75% more brushes in the head than the previous model, and it lasts 20 minutes on a single charge. Or you can get the Paradigm Prestige 75F for just $1,499 each. Floor-standing speakers like this, reference set by Paradigm, bring out the subtle details in bands like Fleet Foxes and movies with booming surround sound like the Avengers series. One of the tricks, three woofers are dedicated to lower frequencies to add pristine clarity. Keep in mind what I said, $1,499 each. What about the Graf von Faber-Castell Snakewood fountain pen? A pen, wouldn't that be usable for most entrepreneurs? I think it would. And at just $775, I'm sure they would appreciate it. Now, a pen made out of wood that is waxed by hand, naturally, makes perfect sense. It's about as analog as you can get in a digital age. It takes 100 manual steps just to make the pen, and it looks like something that John Hancock would have used back in the day. Now, for $3,995, our ninth item is the Taylor 600. Now, every entrepreneur at some point has to have something that they do to relax themselves. For some, it's golf. Others will go for a massage. Maybe your entrepreneur likes to play the guitar. So for the guitar player in the office or the family, the new 600 model by Taylor Guitars is the one to get this holiday. It's a revoiced model with maple materials and ebony fleetboard and bridge from Cameroon. The second generation pickup resonates longer and louder than previous versions. And finally, at $1,499, you have the Naim Musso. What really sets this high-end Bluetooth speaker apart from the rest? Two things. The sound quality is in that elusive reference speaker range where you can hear things in your favorite tunes that you swear were missing when you use earbuds. And the sleek, low-profile design fits in a moderate office just as much as that fancy Jura coffee maker. There you have it, your top 10 list of things to get the entrepreneur who has everything.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes, it's the Taking Care of Business top 10 items to get for the entrepreneur who has everything.
Good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
And you're getting one. The whole studio audience is getting one. Thank God there's nobody in the studio. All right, well, that was a little bit of fun. Around the holidays, I like to break it up and have a little bit of fun. I have just found out that this is the last program of the year for Taking Care of Business. We are on Thursdays. The Chamber of Commerce offices are going to be closed both next Thursday, the 24th, and then on the 30th. So we will be getting back together in January, which is going to give me plenty of time to research new topics. I've already thought about a theme for 2016, and it's going to be what I want it to be is I want the program to be as helpful as possible. I get letters, I get emails, I get phone calls from people. You know, people will reach out to me on Facebook and they'll suggest topics, and I do the research on them, and then we bring them back into the program. You can remain anonymous, but if it's something that's affecting your business and you want me to discuss it here on the program, even if it's something where you've talked to your employees and they're just not responding, and then you write me and you say, this is the topic I want to talk about. Can you do your research? Come up with a program topic. Let me know when it'll be happening, and then I'll gather the staff around. So if they hear it from someone else, similar to your children, you know, if you tell them something, you're yelling at them. And if a total stranger tells them something, they're the most smartest person in the world. You know, so but I'm looking at customer service. That's going to be a big theme in 2016. Sales and marketing will be a big theme in 2016. Knowing your numbers, knowing your metrics, what's important? How can you finance? How can you get financing for your business in 2016, especially now when interest rates are rising? So we're going to cover a lot of different topics, all business-centric, all focused on growing your business, on being a good employer to your employees. We're also going to have sections where we're talking to the employees about how to be good to your employer, and then making it just, you know, a better experience for everybody. The goal is that when we start this in January, that by the time we get to next December, you're calling me up and saying, you know what? We listened, we implemented, we executed. It was hard, but we did it. And now we've grown by X percent. And I'm hoping that number is somewhere between 8 and 10. It has worked for some of the businesses that I've consulted with. They have seen tremendous growth. And, so hopefully a nugget here, a nugget there helps you in certain areas. And, you know, we just started with the social media one, so hopefully that will help you as well. Good. Okay. So there's about 15 different things happening all at once here. And so I just want to make sure that I'm covering all of them. So again, this is going to be the final Taking Care of Business for 2015. And then we'll get together in January. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to a couple of weeks off. Actually, no time off for me this year. We normally close around the Christmas break. We are doing a special project at Crown Trophy of Flemington. We are locking out the employees. It's going to be my son, my two sons and myself, and I think we're bringing one employee in. We're going to do something that is just going to rock the world of our employees and hopefully make us more productive. I'll go over that on the first show in January. But I think that sometimes you have to look at your business, find out what's working, what's not, and then make radical changes, and we are about to do that, and I'm very excited about it. I saw some of the blueprints and plans, and I can't wait to get going on it. Well, when we talked about... Wow, didn't think that story was quite that long. So let's get into something else here. How about this? Now, I'm a person that reads voraciously. I read biographies, I read business books, self-help books, things like that. And, you know, the joke that I often make is that, you know, the only person that gets rich at a Tony Robbins seminar is Tony Robbins, you know. people go, they get all excited, and then they get back to work on Monday, and they're like, ugh, you know, I don't really want to put in that much work. So there's a great article out that says, Why Don't I Feel Better? The Truth About Positive Affirmations in Self-Help Books. Now, think about if you've ever said this to yourself. I'm successful. I'm a wonderful person. I'll find love again. Many other similar phrases that students, the brokenhearted and unfulfilled employees, may repeat to themselves over and over again, hoping to change their lives. Self-help books through the ages, from Norman Vincent Peale's The Power of Positive Thinking all the way to the latest called The Secret, have encouraged people with low self-esteem to make positive self-statements or affirmations. New research suggests that it may do more harm than good to many people. A Canadian researcher, Dr. Joanne Wood at the University of Waterloo, and her colleagues at the University of New Brunswick, who have recently published their research in the Journal of Psychological Science, concluded that repeating positive self-statements may benefit certain people, such as individuals with high self-esteem, but it could backfire for the very people who need them the most. The researchers asked people with high and low self-esteem to say, I'm a lovable person. They then measured the participants' moods and their feelings about themselves. The low self-esteem group felt worse afterwards compared with others who didn't. However, people with high self-esteem felt better after repeating the positive affirmation, but only slightly. The psychologist then asked the participants to list negative and positive thoughts about themselves. They found paradoxically, those with low self-esteem were in a better mood when they were allowed to have negative thoughts than when they were asked to focus exclusively on affirmative thoughts. The researchers suggest that overly positive praise, unreasonably positive self-statements such as, I accept myself completely, can provoke contradictory thoughts in individuals and in individuals with low self-esteem. When positive self-statements conflict with self-perception, the researchers argue there isn't mere resistance but a reinforcing of self-perception. People who view themselves as unlovable. Example, find that saying that are so unbelievable that it strengthens their own negative view rather than reversing it. There's a thing called the general intelligence factor, and for years, psychologists have tried to understand the elusive concept of intelligence or a general ability that would define and evaluate people. Common as the word may sound, it has been difficult for the researchers, psychologists, and the philosophers to agree upon a single definition for the term. Most people would agree that intelligence is an ability to comprehend and learn from an experience. It allows the person to conduct his day-to-day tasks, use language, and solve problems that would define his adaptability in the world. It is commonly accepted that each person is born with his set of distinctive abilities. These findings were supported by previous research published in 1994 in the Journal of Social Psychology, showing that when people get feedback that they believe is overly positive, they actually feel worse and not better. Dr. Wood goes one step further. In her Psychology Today blog, she says that most self-help books advocating positive affirmations may be based on good intentions or personal experience. They're rarely based on one iota of scientific evidence. And she cites that psychologist Sonia Libermisky's The How of Happiness is an exception. Now, does that mean positive affirmations are of absolutely no value? Not according to Dr. Wood and her co-researchers. They say that positive affirmations can help when they're part of a broader program of intervention. That intervention can take place in a number of forms, such as cognitive psychotherapy or working with a coach whose expertise in the behavioral sciences. What kind of intervention is best to use to make positive affirmations most effective? That depends on the individual. So a lot going on as far as whether or not the self-help books are, in fact, helpful to all people. And so I encourage you to continue reading. You know, if you've been reading either business books or any of the self-help books, I'm hoping that you will continue to do that. Usually you will find something in all of those readings that applies to you and that will motivate you to do, you know, better things or work harder, work smarter, etc. So hopefully that article, that story had a little bit of help for you as well. Currently 12:46, you're listening to Taking Care of Business. We got about 15 more minutes together. We're going to step away for our 12:45 break. And when we come back, we're going to have the 7 secrets that self-motivated entrepreneurs know. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. Currently 52 degrees at 12:49. Lot to cover in just the last 10 minutes, so let's get right to it. How about the 7 secrets of self-motivated entrepreneurs, and what do they know that necessarily you don't? So let's take a look at some of those right now. Now, how do some entrepreneurs overcome obstacles, maintain intense focus, exemplify ironclad discipline, and create companies out of thin air? Is it genius? Is it luck? Is it some secret sauce of success? And much of the answer lies in their motivation. Now, how do we define that? Psychology Today defines motivation as the desire to do things. An even more detailed definition explains that motivation is the process that initiates, guides, and maintains goal-oriented behaviors. Now, when you see a rising entrepreneur star, what you're watching is an incredible amount of motivation, of goal-oriented behavior. Motivation is like jet power propulsion. It transforms individuals from passive participants into active leaders, maybe because they know what's in the secret sauce. Now, here are seven of those ingredients of motivation that the most successful entrepreneurs know. They know what they are meant to do in life. Now, the motivation literature is vast and varied, and it gets complicated, yet as diverse as motivational theories are, there's a single thing that unites them all. Motivation answers the why. Every human grapples with what that enormous question of existence. Why am I here? What's my purpose? Although a definitive and data-backed answer to that existential question has hardly been forthcoming in the last few millennia, we can at least choose an answer for ourselves. And one answer, and esoteric as it may sound, is that the purpose of one's existence is a fundamental principle of life. You've got to know why you're living in order to truly live. So choose a destiny then, define your purpose, chart your course, and once you answer the why, you will have unlocked the first door on the path to constant motivation. Number two, they know what they're supposed to do each day. Motivation starts infinitely broad, but gets infinitesimally detailed as you move on. When you know what you're supposed to do in life, you can determine what you're supposed to do each day. That defines successful entrepreneurs. They enter each day with a defined set of tasks, goals, and objectives. Leo Babauta, who writes the blog Zen Habits, calls these big rocks. He describes that special knowledge like this. The big rocks are the major things you want to get done this week. If you have several big rocks staring you in the face each week, then your goal each day is to chip away at them. Knowing that they are there and knowing you must conquer them creates a sense of motivation that won't quit all day long. Number three, they prepare mentally for each day. Mere knowledge of the day's plans isn't quite enough. There must be another level of motivational power, a psychological trick, as it were. The motivational Instagram account before 5 a.m. explains that mental preparation is key. The author uses four hacks to boost his own motivation. Music is going to be the quickest way to snap your mind into a powerful state. On your phone, you can create an album of the things you want in life. I look at my goals that are next to my bed straight away, and plenty of great motivational material is on YouTube. Techniques vary, but the principle holds true. Mentally preparing before your day begins is the key to dominating during the day. For me, I got about a 20-minute car ride to work. I'm pumping up, upbeat music, waking myself up. When I get to work, there's about four or five videos that I generally like to watch. One, I can get clips from Marcus Lemonis on CNBC.com. Or two, I'll take scenes from videos, from movies. The locker room speech by Herb Brooks in the movie Miracle. The Friday Night Lights clip that I played a few weeks ago, Can You Be Perfect? So I find the scenes that I like and I'll play them, get myself pumped up, and then I'm ready to go. Entrepreneurs also refuse to rely on self-discipline alone. Now, there's an aura of respect and esteem that surrounds self-disciplined people. The truth is, however, that self-discipline, willpower, is like a muscle. And like all muscles, willpower can be fatigued through overuse. Self-discipline, moreover, is limited. Benjamin Franklin was famous for his pursuit of moral perfection. At the conclusion of his perfection experiment, he wrote this, "I never arrived at the perfection I had been so ambitious of obtaining, but fell far short of it." Self-discipline will fail you, but a deep and underlying motivation will sustain you. You can use self-discipline to enhance your efforts, but don't rely on it. Motivation blocks hurting your success and how to transform them are also key. Now, entrepreneurs that are self-motivated are also the authors of their own rule book. A self-motivated person has the courage to create his or her own rules for life. At the same time, all members of the human race are surrounded by other people, groups, subcultures, and external forces. These groups will quite naturally exert an influence on one's self-perception, goals, visions, and dreams. Yet someone who is able to rise above all those external pressures and create his or her own guidebook for living will create enormous personal motivation. Another way of saying this is that self-motivated people set their own standards, and invariably these standards are high. Here's a list that others have compiled. I will wake up at 5 a.m. daily. I will not eat sugar. I will not watch TV. I will work every weekend. I will eliminate toxic people from my life. High standards can be hard to maintain, yet they produce massive amounts of motivation, which in turn helps to fuel high achievement. They also develop insane goals. Another way that self-motivated entrepreneurs push forward is by using the power of goals. Goal setting does something to the mind. Lifehacks Dustin Wax explain it like this. According to the research of psychologists, neurologists, and other scientists, setting a goal invests ourselves into the target as if we'd already accomplished it. That is, by setting something as a goal, however small or large, however near or far in the future, a part of our brain believes that the desired outcome is an essential part of who we are, setting up the conditions that drive us to work toward the goals to fulfill the brain's self-image. Number 7, they never lose sight of the goal. Merely setting a goal does not by itself propel you to an unbreakable stream of a self-motivated existence. You have to keep those goals in mind all the time, every day, stuck on the mirror, hanging on your phone, taped to your computer, hanging on a wall, running through your mind everywhere, always. Keep your goals at the forefront of your mind, and you'll never lose that motivation. Self-motivation is one of the underlying forces that distinguish successful entrepreneurs from those who stagger from one neglected startup to another. Self-motivation despises the role of luck, dismisses the component of self-discipline, and looks to the power of goals for ultimate achievement in life. So hopefully some of those will help you as you try to become more successful in life. In sports, in NASCAR news, Dale Earnhardt Jr. won the Most Popular Driver Award for the 13th consecutive year. The senior VP of competition for NASCAR, Robin Pemberton, has announced that he is leaving NASCAR at the end of the year. And Sprint Cup Series champion Kyle Busch is having surgery to remove all of the rods, plates, and screws that were implanted in his leg and foot following the Xfinity race in Daytona earlier this year. Denny Hamlin had surgery to repair a torn ACL in his knee from a basketball injury suffered 2 months ago. In Major League Baseball news, word came down Tuesday that Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred has ruled that Pete Rose's lifetime ban from baseball will remain in effect, stating that Rose has not shown that he has given up the gambling lifestyle that put him in the doghouse in the first place. However, the commissioner has left the option open of Rose being elected to the Hall of Fame if the Hall of Fame selection committee were to put him on the ballot. In the NFL, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will take on the St. Louis Rams tonight at 8:25 p.m. to start Week 15 in the NHL. And my fantasy football team has made the playoffs.
What's that?
I said my fantasy football team made playoffs.
Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
You and me both, Jim. In NCAA basketball, Michigan State leads the AP Top 25 poll, followed by Kansas, Oklahoma, Kentucky, and Iowa State. Maryland, Duke, Virginia, Purdue, and Xavier round out the top 10. Just a reminder, there will be no more programs for Taking Care of Business for the rest of this year. We'll be back in January. Definitely enjoyed being with you this year. Also very grateful to be named the most informative radio show here at Hunter and Chamber Radio and to receive that award at the Vitality Breakfast a few weeks ago. Shameless plug intended, but definitely appreciate that. And it kind of motivates me to do a better job each week. So hopefully we'll be able to do that. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. I'm your host, Jim Gannot. This has been another edition of Taking Care of Business. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGannot83, or on Facebook with our new page called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot. Don't forget to like and follow that page. I'll talk to you again next year for another edition of Taking Care of Business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business. Happy and have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local.